Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Canvas Church. You excited to be here today? Come on. Well, I'm excited you're here. So glad you'd be with us here on Sunday morning. I got to let you know something. I told the 9 a.m. service that, man, that the last couple of weeks, they've been the most amazing service, and I love them. But I want you to know something. The 10:30 a.m. service, you've been amazing, and I love you. And the last few weeks have been amazing. So thank you for coming to 10:30. Glad you're here. If you've never checked out the 9, though, feel free to check it out. You know, a lot of people, when they come to the 10:30, not even realizing we actually have another one. So if you got stuff going on a Sunday and you feel like, well, I can't make it to church because I got the 10:30 service, we have a 9 o'clock service. Check it out. Great things happening there. Here's the cool thing about Canvas Church is although the message is the same in both services, man, we just open up a space for the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants to do and move the way he wants to move. And so each service is a little bit unique, and so I'm excited to see what God does today in Canvas Church. You heard Pastor Melissa mention we have baptisms today, water baptisms. That is a great next step for you in your faith journey. It is actually happening right after this service, right out that door. We got a baptismal set up out there. Now, a lot of you are new to church. You're kind of like, what are you talking about, baptism? What are you going to do to me? Water baptism is simply, oh, young people, you can go to class. We got a great class for all the junior hires. Come on, can we give it up for the junior hires? The junior high class meets over at O's Restaurant right across the little area there. But starting next week, it's going to be right here. We got a theater for them. And so they're going to have their own theater. Come on, that's awesome. Because we have some parents like, you're taking my kid where? Across what? What are you doing? So we're going to have a theater right here for them. But we even talk about water baptism. And biblically, this is an outward expression of an inward transformation that has taken place. It's where we identify with Christ's life, burial, and resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection. We go underwater, we come out. So some of you are like new to this, you're like, here in water baptism, what are you going to do to me? Here's what's going to happen. We have a tub set up outside, it's full of water. And what happens is, according to scriptures, we're just going to dunk you and hold you down for about 30 minutes. I'm just kidding. That's not gonna happen. We're just gonna dunk you in water, and then we're gonna come right up out of the water. And the reason we do that, it might seem like, what? That's weird, man. What's that all about? Well, the Bible talks about that. And when we do that as believers, it's our first initial expression of once again an outward expression of what God has done inwardly. We're saying, man, the old is gone, and we've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're coming up brand new. All right. So yes, you're gonna get wet. Hair's gonna be, makeup's gonna be running everywhere. Okay. If you're a girl, makeup's gonna be everywhere. Hair's gonna be messed up. But here's the thing. I want to encourage you to take that next step of faith if you haven't, all right? And we'd love to talk to you more about that. And so if you're here and you didn't come ready to be water baptized, man, we got a t-shirt, a baptism t-shirt, and you want to take that next step right after this service is your opportunity. Also, in the news, you saw a little thing called First Thursday. And you're like, if you've been coming to church for a while, you know what First Thursday is. But if you're new today, you're like, I saw a thing that said First Thursday on October 1st, 7 p.m. No clue what it is. Here's what it is. If you want to get to be a part of the worship ministry here at Canvas Church, that's your next step right there. Man, they come together one Thursday a month. They worship together, pray together. Someone will give a biblical teaching on worship, and then discover your gift set and your skill in that, and get you plugged into the worship ministry. And so, if you're here and you're like, man, I like to play music. I don't care if it's the thumb cymbals. Anybody play the thumb cymbals? Come on, somebody. Two people. Bring them. All right. Bring them Thursday night. Anybody play the accordion? That's the accordion. No one plays the accordion. All right. Bagpipes. Anybody? Bagpipes. So I hear bagpipes. All right, bring them, all right, Thursday night, this Thursday, 7 o'clock to the Ministry Team Center. You can find out where that center's at on our website. But today we're going to continue our series entitled This Is Us, in which we've been talking about the church. Everybody say the church. I want everybody, come on, everybody say the church. We're talking about the church, and this is my hope and my goal is that we can kind of just pull back the veil a little bit and really dive into scripture and see what the Bible says the church should be and what the Bible says the church should be doing. Because, you know, if you were to take the next 10 weeks and go visit 10 different churches, don't do that. We love you. We want you here. But if you were, and you go to 10 different churches, you might walk back with 10 different ideas of what the church is to be and what the church is to look like. And I know for me, growing up in the church, I got saved at the age of 6 and gave up my life of crime and stealing cars and smoking weed and stuff like that. It's a joke, lighten up, people. But I got saved at the age of 6, and so I grew up in the church. And, you know, growing up in the church, I had a concept of what the church I thought it was. And that was filtered through the church I attended, and it was filtered through my parents' ideas of the church. But I began to realize that I could go to 10 different churches and come back with 10 different thoughts. And so I really dove in my teenage years and said, man, what is the church supposed to be? What is the church supposed to look like? And here's the great thing. The Bible actually tells us what the church is to be and what the church is to look like. And because we don't take our cues from culture, we take our cues from the Word of God. And as I began to dive in, because I was a part of a movement, great movement, but in my movement, man, I thought church was fun, loved having community, loved hanging out with friends, and man, loved having potlucks after service. Come on, somebody. Oh, now, okay. How many of you guys would love to bring back potlucks after service, right? Where you just come to the service and then you eat all day and then you come to the evening service. And did anybody grow up in that era? Now, I know there's a lot of people here that you're brand new to church. You're like, this is my first time in church. And man, welcome. But I grew up in a season, man, where you went to Sunday school, then you went to church service, and then you hung out in the like little hall and you ate food together all day. And then you just stayed and went to the evening service, right? We're not going to do that, all right? But if you want to take your pastor to eat, just let me know. So I had my idea of what church looked like, and in the group I grew up in, I honestly, this is the way I felt. I felt like you had to walk in and everything had to be A-okay, right? Like you had to put on your smile. It didn't matter how bad the week was. Didn't matter what you were walking through or what you were dealing with. You just had to put on that smiley face and greet people. Hello, brother so-and-so, right? Hello, sister. And everybody's like, what is that about? Smile on my face. And I didn't feel like I could just open up and say, hey, look, I'm in process. I got some junk going on in my life. I think there's lights blinding. Is there lights blinding people? Yeah? I don't know where that's coming from. I see people going like this, and they're like, yeah, is it right there? Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The Lord said, let there be light. It's biblical. All right. And so I felt like I just had to like put on a mask. But here's what I discovered as I jumped into the Word of God. I realized that, you know, the church is a bunch of imperfect people coming together, seeking a God who would love them in their imperfections. So what I began to discover that the church isn't like where you go to be perfect. The church is where you go to seek the one who is perfect, the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what I begin to discover in addition to that is that the church has some responsibilities and a function. That the church isn't, I'm not the church just because, you know, I'm not a Christian just because I came and sat in these cushioned chairs today and sat at Canvas Church, right? I'm the church and I actually have a position. I actually have a function. I actually have a responsibility. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. John chapter 2. Let's go to John chapter 2. This is where we were at the last couple weeks. If you missed it, go back, check out the podcast. But today we're going to fast forward in chapter 2 and we're going to get to about verse 13 and we're going to read a story here. And then we're going to jump over to Matthew chapter 21 and we're going to read Matthew's account. But first let's get John's account. John chapter 2, starting in verse 13. And it reads, the Jewish Passover was near. This is a celebration of the Jews celebrating the fact that back in the Old Testament, the death angel that came to hover over Egypt, that people were spared if they put blood. I know it's a crazy story. Anybody read this story in the Old Testament? If not, you can go back and read it, the book of Exodus. But they put blood on the doorpost, and whenever the death angel would hover over Egypt, it would pass over the house that had blood on the doorpost. And that's symbolic of us being cleansed in the New Testament by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so now here in this passage that we're reading, there's a Passover feast or a Passover celebration. And the reason that's key to understand is because they're coming together from every area of the world. Every area, every tongue, they're represented there to celebrate the Passover feast. So in other words, this city now, Jerusalem, is absolutely packed, okay? People have traveled from all over to celebrate the Passover. It was near, so Jesus went up to Jerusalem in the temple complex, and he found people selling oxen, sheep, and doves. And he also found the money changers sitting there. So what's happening? Why in the temple are there people selling oxen, sheep, and doves? And why are there money changers there? A place of worship, a house of worship. What is going on? Well, I know this, that when I first read this text many years ago, I immediately was like, what's wrong with these people? Why are they in God's house selling sheep, selling oxen, and selling doves? Now, what is going on? I was angry at these people, right? But here's what we got to understand. These were not bad people. These were actually people thinking they were doing what they were supposed to do in the temple. They realize that it's the Passover. People are coming from all over. And so what we need to do is we need to provide a sacrifice. So what we'll do is they don't have to bring a sacrifice with them. Instead, we'll just set up shop here where they're going to sacrifice and we'll sell them one. Are you with me? So in their heart, they thought they were doing what needed to be done for the Passover. And so Jesus comes in and sees what's going on. In verse 15, after making a whip of cords. Now, I want you to highlight that because we're going to talk about that. After making a whip of cords. Now, we're talking about Jesus, people. This is the same Jesus that earlier on in John chapter 2 turned water into wine. Yeah. Right? This is meek, mild, blonde hair, sheep wearing. Come on, somebody. Jesus. Y'all seen the picture? I mean, this is Jesus, and the Bible says he's making a whip. Didn't find one. No, he starts to make one. Let's see what he does with the whip. This is Jesus we're talking about. And making a whip out of cords, he drove everyone. Now remember, this place is packed. This ain't just a few people. He drove everyone out of the temple complex with their sheep and oxen. He also poured out the money changers' coins and overturned the tables. Jesus, what is wrong with you? And he told those who were selling doves, get these things out of here. Now he's yelling. He not only made a whip, he is chucking tables at people. Come on, somebody. And now he's yelling at people. He says, stop turning my father's house into a marketplace. And his disciples remembered what is written. Zeal for your house will consume me. So this is John's account. Let's get one of the other disciples' account of what took place. It's a much shorter version, but there's a key here. It's in Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. And it reads, Jesus went into the temple complex and drove out all those buying and selling in the temple. He overturned the money changers' tables and the chairs of those selling doves. Listen to verse 13. And he said to them, it is written, my house will be called the house of prayer. Everybody say prayer. My house will be called the house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves. Let me read it to you this way. My church shall be a church that prays. My people will be a people that prays. If you're going to do one thing in my house, I want you to pray. I want you to seek me. I want you to converse with me. I want you to talk with me. Jesus is so agitated and so irritated about what he sees that he starts throwing tables. He says, get this point. Hear me now, people. This is what I really want you to be doing. I want you to be praying. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that in the next few moments that we have together, that Lord, you would just teach us from this and that as the church, we would learn and we would apply and we would grow. And I pray that today that you would help me do my best to help people encounter Jesus, to know your extravagant love, and to get people to see that you have an amazing plan for their life. In your mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. How many of you in here have ever been excited about going to a party before? And you don't need to tell me what kind of party. Right? Ever been excited about going to a party? Like you got the invitation. You're so excited all week long. You're looking forward to the party. And so, man, Friday rolls around, you're ready, work's over, man, you get all dressed up, and you head to the party, and you get to the party, and you walk in, only to realize it's a costume party, and you don't have a costume on. Anybody ever been there before? That ever happened to you? A few hands over here. I think the flip of that is probably worse, though, right? It would be worse to think that it is a costume party and you went and shopped for your costume, right? And you got your costume in and you're ready to go and you walk in with your costume on, open the door, and nobody else has a costume on. That's almost worse, right? Man, that's just a humiliating place, a place to be, and you feel just so out of place. Like you show up thinking that you're showing up in the right way and showing up to the right party, only to realize that you're not. I remember that happened to my wife and I with my youngest, or actually my oldest daughter, who's now a junior, but this was all the way back when she was in kindergarten. And so obviously this is new to us, our first child going to school. We're new parents to school. Anybody ever been there before? And you're trying to learn what this thing is all about. Like, what time do they need to be there? And do they have homework in kindergarten? And do I help them with their homework or do I make them do it, right? And so one of the things they did in this kindergarten was they had PJ Day. Anybody ever take their kids to PJ Day? It's not just for kindergarten anymore, right? Spirit Week, woo, right? And so we got our daughter all dressed up. Friday's come, and we pumped her up all week. Like, hey, because, you know, it's kind of weird. You know, when you're new to something, it's like, are you sure it's PJ Day? Yes. We got the email. It is pajama day, and it's going to be fun, and everyone's going to be in pajamas. Those are the words we used. Talking it up all week long, and man, there it is. We get up Friday, dress her in her PJs, and she's a little bit nervous, and we get there, and you know, in kindergarten, you get to walk your child to the front door, and so we're walking. As we're walking, we're looking around, and we're kind of like, why is nobody else in PJs? And you know, if we saw it, she saw it. And we're like, no, maybe it's just this class that's doing PJ Day, right? And so we open the door, and all of a sudden, we look, and nobody else has PJs. Except for our daughter, and she's standing there. And ever since, we've spent hundreds of dollars on counseling to me. She's standing there, we look, a little tear trickles down her eye. She was the kindergarten teacher was a phenomenal teacher, though. She came over real quickly, and she's like, I'm sorry, I sent out an email. We changed it to next week. It's just like, oh yeah, all of these parents got it, but we didn't. Somehow it's her fault, right? I just remember a little tear, and it was just like, Pins, what do we do? I'll tell you what I did. I looked at my wife and I told you it wasn't PJ Day. I'll never forget that moment. Humiliating for her, humiliating for us. We felt like we were the worst parents in the world. We thought we were showing up the right way, the right place, at the right time. And I can't help but think that in this passage, when you think about these people in the temple, that they think they're doing the right thing and they think they showed up and they're giving it their best and they're doing everything they can to prepare for this amazing Passover feast and festival, only to realize they're not showing up the way they're supposed to show up. I can't help but fast forward to today and think that maybe that happens in the church today. That as the church, we have all of these ideas of what the church is supposed to look like and supposed to be. And man, we can do this. And man, wasn't our worship great? Wasn't our worship great? And the message was amazing. And the message was amazing. Right? And we're doing all these things. Listen to me, not that these things are wrong and bad, but ultimately they need to point to Jesus Christ and his church and what he wants to accomplish. And I can't help but think sometimes, are we doing what we think we're supposed to do? Are we doing what the Bible tells us to do? Are we really being the church? Or are we showing up with our PJs on and it ain't PJ day? Are you with me this morning? Here they are. Well-meaning, good-intentioned people doing what they think they should do. But what does the church really look like? What is the church? Listen, we don't have to look very far to discover what Jesus says he wants his church to be doing. We look right here in the text today, and he leaves nothing on the table. It's like it's all out there. Yeah. Like, hey, guys, you're missing it. Yeah. This is what I want my church to be doing. I want my church to be praying. I want my church to be calling out upon me. I want my church to be talking to me. Matter of fact, Psalm 116 says that there's one thing that causes God to bend low. The Bible says in Psalm 116 that he bends low to hear the prayers of his people. Isn't that powerful? He says, guys, you're missing it. Get this stuff out of here. This is what I want my church. This is the most effective, most powerful, most. This is the thing you should be doing. You should be praying. You should be praying. I want my people, I want my church, I want you, I want you to be people of prayer. Before anything else, be people of prayer. Be people of prayer. And that's what he wants. That's what he wants. Are you with me this morning? And here's Jesus. He walks in and he sees the temple and he says, wait a second, something's off. Something's not right. This isn't what I wanted. And he's so agitated. I mean, you don't see a whole lot of verses like this in the Bible. I mean, there's a few in the Old Testament where God's anger burned hot towards people. Not a good place to be. This is another one, New Testament, though. This is another one. It's like, yeah, Jesus is making a whip, people. You with me? Now this, you got to understand something. Look at what the verse says. It says, he made a whip out of cords. This is not like a crime of passion. This is a premeditated whipping. Are you with me? It wasn't like he was so mad. He's like, oh, there's a whip. Hey, get out of here. This was like, I don't like what's going on. And I'm going to do something about it. And he's walking through their little market they set up and he finds some cords. He knows what he's going to do with the cords. He's going to make a whip. And he's going to beat some people if they don't leave. Jesus. What? He finds these cords. And you can't make a whip like in 5 minutes. I never tried it, but I should have prepared better for this message. Right. He sits down with these cords and he's mad, he's hot. And he's sitting there and it probably took him some time, his foot is tapping, and he probably started to sing this song.
Now watch me whip. Hey. Now watch me nay nay.
Okay.
Now watch me whip. Watch me nay nay.
Let me do it.
Now watch me whip.
Come on, watch you whip.
Kill it.
Watch me nay nay.
Okay.
Now watch me whip. Watch me nay nay.
Can you do it?
All right, yeah, just got all the religious people right now. Like, I can't believe this song got played in church. I can't believe they play that in church. But inside, you're like, right? That's what you're doing. You're like, oh, this is kind of cool, but no, they're not playing this in church. It doesn't belong. It's a biblical song, people. Jesus came in with the whip and he was like, nay, nay, get this stuff out of here. Come on, it's the first whipping nay, nay ever. Wondering where they got the lyrics for that. It's right here, John chapter 2. Hello? He's making that whip. Core value number 4. Yeah. He grabs that whip and he chases people out of the temple. See, you got it wrong. My church, I want my people more than sacrifices. I want my people to pray. Why is that? Here's why it is. Number one, because prayer is what God wants his church to be known for. Prayer is. Listen, my church is going to do a lot of things. My church is going to accomplish much. It's the greatest thing happening on the planet today. The Church of Jesus Christ. Canvas is an expression of that. The Church of Jesus Christ, the most powerful, the most effective, the most anointed, the most joyous thing happening on the planet is the church. And when the world looks at the church and when the church looks at themselves, this is what I want them to be known for. Prayer. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. But I got a question for you. When you think about the church and when you look at the church, is that the first thought that's provoked within you? If it is, awesome, let's keep going and let's keep moving forward. If it's not, let's change it. Let's change it. We got to be a people of prayer. Listen to me. When you think about something, it's no. When you think of Baskin Robbins, what do you think? Yeah, ice cream. 31 flavors to be exact. When you think about Krispy Kreme, what do you think? And weight loss. Come on, somebody. Right? But when you think about the church, what's going on? Well, man, the church, I really love it. It's a lot of fun. They got community there. And you know what? That one church, man, that pastor, the tall, dark, and handsome one. We have one of those here, too. I was talking about a different church. And he preaches. Oh, wow. And man, the worship. I mean, the team gets away. And like they sing around a fire and new songs come. Yeah. Right? Like, there's a lot of things we could be known for. And look at all those things, man. We want those things within the church. But listen to me. The church is a place that needs to be known for prayer. Because when you pray, you are calling out upon an almighty God. And with God, all things are possible. I want my church to be known for prayer. I want my church. God wants his church. God wants his people. So much so that even when Jesus comes into the temple, this isn't the first thing. This isn't the first time this is said. Matter of fact, he quotes Old Testament scriptures. He says, it is written. Yeah. In other words, hey, it's already been written down. Matter of fact, it's mentioned in 5 different books of the Bible. It's already been written, but you guys ain't getting it. Watch me whip. You guys ain't getting it. So now I'm gonna drill it into you. I want you to be known for prayer. I want you to be known for prayer. Be a people that prays. Yes, man, church should be fun. Yes, church should be a place where you can connect with people and be vulnerable and open up and say, this is what's going on in my life. But the point of opening up and saying, this is what's going on in my life isn't so, oh man, that's so bad. I'm so sorry you're walking through that right now. No, the whole point in opening up and sharing what you're going through is so, hey, all right, let's pray. Let's pray and let's see what God does in that right now. Let's pray and see how God moves in your life right now. Listen to me. We're not a group therapy session, people. This isn't where we come together and just barf all over each other and, hey, what's going on in my life? If that's what it is, we're missing it. This is a place where we can do all that and be vulnerable, but yet find hope, find healing, find salvation, find security, find what we're looking for. Why? Because we stop, we say, okay, I hear what you're going through right now. Now we're gonna do the job of the church. The job of the church is not counseling. The job of the church is a call upon an almighty God who when he shows up in your circumstance and your situation, it begins to change. That doesn't negate there's power in counseling, power in worship, power in other things. But listen to me. There is something we can do that absolutely transforms the situation. And it's get God involved. And nothing gets God involved more than prayer. That's good preaching. Amen. Prayer is what God wants his church. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Faithful in prayer. Faithful in prayer. Colossians 4:2 tells us, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourself to what?
Prayer.
Devote yourself to prayer. Number two, prayer is simply a conversation with God. I know that sometimes when we talk about prayer, it can be a little intimidating. Because, man, I went to a prayer thing on Saturday morning. By the way, we have Saturday morning prayer at our offices every Saturday, 8 to 9. And we keep that thing running. A bunch of us leaders were out of town last weekend. Prayer didn't stop. We called some of our ministry team people and said, hey, can you be there and run prayer? And they're like, we're on it. Yeah. Now, why? Because we believe in the power of prayer. But here's the thing is you could show up to that and be like, here's somebody praying. And be like, oh, what? I don't know how to do that. Or you can hear pastor praying on a Sunday morning and be like, oh, that's prayer. Listen, prayer in its simplest form is you having a conversation with God. That's it. And he invites us into that conversation. See, I think some people are scared to pray or at least maybe pray publicly or come to a prayer thing because they're like, I don't really know how to pray. I don't really know how to do that. Can we settle it right here in Canvas Church? Prayer is just you having a conversation. like you do with a friend, like you do with a best friend. Like where you can just open up and tell them everything and anything, and they're still your friend. You know, we don't have, you know, people in life don't have a whole lot of friends like that. We probably have two or three. Jesus is one of those. The Lord Jesus Christ is one of those. You can tell him anything and it does not scare him. You can even tell him, God, I'm mad at you right now. Because this right here, this is not what I wanted. Right? And you know what? He doesn't be like, well, see you later then. Watch me whip. He doesn't get scared of that. You know, the Bible actually says that if we make our bed in the pit of hell, he's still there. I'll paraphrase it. Ben Brinkman paraphrase. If you live like hell, he's still there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. There is nothing you can. Are you with me right now? Just converse. Just open up your mouth and begin to talk to him. Matter of fact, you know what? Jesus' disciples wanted to learn how to pray. And Luke gives us this example in Luke 11, 1 through 4. Says that Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to do what you just did, to pray. Just as John also taught his disciples. And Jesus said, absolutely. He said to them, whenever you pray, listen to it now, say. There's a key right there. Whenever you pray, think. No. Could think the words, sure, but when listen to the, here's the thought. Here's the idea. When you pray, say, what is it? He's saying this. When you pray, it's you having a conversation. And this is what he says next. Say, Father. What does he do? He brings it down to a level of conversation they can understand. He says, hey, when you pray, say, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He gives him praise, okay? But this is the part I want you to catch. He brings it down to a conversation piece. It says, when you pray, say Father. In other words, the example he uses there is, hey, it's human to human. Like that conversation looks. Now I know some of you are sitting here and you're like, I didn't have a good father. Right? I did, had an amazing father. But here's the thing, when Jesus uses this analogy, he's presupposing the idea of a good father. Meaning that whether or not you had a good father, all of us have a concept of what a good father looks like because we can look at our friends and their parents, et cetera, et cetera. So when he says, hey, when you pray, say Father, he's saying, look, man, this conversation is like you and another human. It's like you and your dad, right? It's not super complex. Now, when I think about the conversations I had with my dad, it's just me opening up saying, Dad, this is what's going on in my life right now. Sometimes me and my dad, we'd get away and we'd talk together. But I'd say 90% of our conversations were just on the fly. Just in a moment. He's saying, hey, let's just have a conversation. Just open up. Just talk with me. Here's the thing, though. Conversation, communication in our world between people is one of the biggest gaps that causes most of our issues. Most issues in your relationships go back to communication. Lack of, bad communication, wrong communication, misunderstandings. What does it come back to? It comes back to communication. I remember when we were first getting married, someone shared with us, hey, you know what? This is gonna be the biggest challenge in your marriage is finances. And I was like, get behind me, Satan. You know what's crazy is that's been the least challenge. God just supernaturally provides time and time again. Take that one, devil. Watch me whip. You guys are all going to be doing it as you walk out. All right, I got to go. You know what? That wasn't the biggest gap. You know what the biggest gap is? It's communication. And if you're sitting here saying, well, Pastor, in our marriage, it's finances. No, it's your lack of communication about the finances. Because if you just sat down and budgeted together and talk about it, you wouldn't get mad at your wife or your husband for going out and buying the shoes later.
Or the bike or the motorcycle.
Wait, I hear a word from the Lord. We've talked about the motorcycle. That was a prophetic word right there. I received that in Jesus' name. Any more prophetic words out there? Do I hear a Porsche? Do I hear a Porsche? I mean, convertible? I'm just kidding. Here's the thing. The greatest gap in your spiritual journey is a communication thing as well. It's a communication. No, that's not right, Pastor, man, because I'm dealing with some stuff right now, and it is causing my spiritual journey to go awry. Yeah, because you're not praying about it. No, that can't be, because really what's happening right now is, man, the stuff isn't going right at work, and I'm just questioning, yeah, because you're not praying about it. It's communication. Fix the communication gap between you and God and watch the problem begin to get fixed in your life. Are you with me today? Here's the thing. If we spent more time, or at least as much time, praying about our situation as we did about complaining about our situation, it would probably begin to turn. Because here's one thing I know about humanity, because I was a psychology major. Here's one thing I know. We know how to talk about our problem. We know how to talk about our issues. You just get together with some friends. Hey, can I talk to you about something right now? And we talk about it. Why don't you just steer that towards prayer and begin to pray about it? And as you begin to pray about it, watch an almighty God begin to move in your circumstance and your situation. Now make no mistake. You got to hear this right now. Because I think there's so many of us, and I'm probably jumping, I don't even know what point am I on, two? It's a good point. Here, you got to listen. Because I think there's so many of us that oftentimes come and we pray, but we pray one time. And we don't see it happen. We don't see it happen. And therefore, we just walk away, which brings me to point number three. You got to understand the most powerful tool you have is prayer. Prayer is the most powerful weapon, the most powerful tool you have. That's why he's saying, church, pray. So when we come and we get confronted with a circumstance, a situation, and man, this isn't how I planned it. This isn't what I thought was going to happen. Oh, but pastor said I should pray, and we pray one time, and then we walk away. We pray one time, and we're like, well, that didn't work out. I need you to know something right now. Just because God said he's going to do it, and just because God said you can have it, doesn't mean you don't have to fight for it. You need to understand something. As much as God wants you to obtain the promises, as much as God wants you to walk in that favor, as much as God wants you to do that thing, you got to know there's a real enemy resisting you from walking in that. No one said it was going to be easy. Therefore, he said, pray. I think about the children of Israel. When they were coming up out in the Old Testament, they're coming out of bondage. They're coming out of Egypt. And this is what they're doing. They're going to their promised land. Their promised land was Canaan. And God said to them, hey, I'm giving you the land of Canaan. That's what it says in scripture. I'm giving it to you. And then they get there and they spy out the land of Canaan, and it's flowing with milk and honey and has grapes the size of watermelons, supposedly. That's what I picture it. Has abundance of fruit and all this stuff. And they come back and they said, yeah, it's beautiful. Just like God said, there's a problem though. There's giants in the land. He says, okay, go and take it. Yeah. But wait a second. No. God, you said you were giving it to us. You mean we've got to fight for this? Yes, you got to fight for it. Listen to me, there is a real enemy. There is a real enemy still today that is standing in between you and your promises, that is standing between you and the reality of what God wants you to walk into. It ain't gonna be easy, but it's yours if you just begin to fight. But listen to me, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers in heavenly places. And so the greatest place we can fight is right here on our knees as we begin to pray and we begin to call out upon God. It's the greatest weapon we have. And if we would begin to utilize it rather than being scared and walking away, oh, there's opposition. Oh, there's a giant there. Yeah, there's always going to be. Because if it's worth getting, man, there is going to be an enemy that wants to stop you from getting it. And listen to me, it's just on the other side of your conversation. It's just on the other side of your prayer. It's just on the other side of your request. What is standing in the way right now of that breakthrough? What is standing in the way of that promise that you know that God gave you? What is standing in the way right now? It doesn't matter what it is. I'm telling you, it's on the other side of your prayer. You know, you're sitting here worrying about it. You know what the Bible says? Man, don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. But pray. And not only will you see the breakthrough, I love this. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all human comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So here I go. I'm going. I know there's a giant, but even in facing the giant, as I go in prayer, there is going to be a peace on my life, knowing that on the other side of it, God has promises for me. God has something for me. Now listen to me. You need to hear this. Because some of you are mistaken. Because we pray with the concept of what we want the outcome to be. And just because the outcome doesn't look like the outcome you wanted doesn't mean God didn't answer your prayer. Doesn't mean he didn't answer your prayer. He answered it. And you're thankful he did. Like that first girl you were dating. God, I'm so in love. Let this be the one. I want to spend the rest of my life with her. Aren't you glad God didn't answer that prayer? Mm-hmm. I know there's some young people right now, but yeah. I'll write that one down. Watch me whip. Right? And sometimes God shows up and answers your prayer by not answering the prayer the way you wanted him to. Does it? Because there's a lesson in that. Luke 18 actually teaches that lesson about persistence in prayer. Prayer is the greatest weapon we have. So much so that Ephesians chapter 5 gives us the whole armor. It says, put on the armor. Here's the end of all the armor. Once all the armor's on, pray. Why? Because that's how we fight. That's how we battle. And so before we go into battle and before we go fight, we better put on the full armor of God because we're going to be doing damage to the kingdom of darkness. See, I've heard that message. Oh, you better, man, it's a wicked world out there. There's lots of bad people and bad stuff. My mama said that of the devil. Put on the armor before you go to school. Yeah, it was a water boy, wasn't it? Someone's like, he put all the religious people now. Oh, he mentioned water boys and walking around. Put on the full armor of God. And now that it's on, fight. Fight by praying about your circumstance. Listen to me. What is it right now that is keeping you up at night? What is it right now that you can't stop thinking about? What is it right now that's consuming your mind? Why are you worried about it? Pray. What is it right now that if that circumstance changed, that you would see your promise on the other side? Write it down and pray until you see the promise. Pray until you see the breakthrough. Pray until you see the answer. Just because there's opposition there. Listen to me. We are not a people that shies away from opposition. We are not a people that shies away from the enemy. We are a people that puts on the full armor of God and understands that we're walking into a battle. Come on. We're walking into a fight right now. We're gonna win this. This fight. Cancer has no place in my body. We're going to win this fight. Depression has no place in my life. We're going to win this fight. My son, my daughter, they are coming back to Jesus, and we're going to win this fight. That mental issue that keeps bombarding, we're going to win this thing as we begin to pray and call out upon an almighty God. For if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and turn from their wickedness and begin to call upon me, I would heal their land and I would answer their prayer. And Jesus looks around and he looks at his church. He says, this isn't the way it's going to go down. My people are going to be a people that know how to pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, your word is as relevant today as it was some 2,000 years ago. God, I thank you the message hasn't changed. God, your message to the church is still as powerful today as it was then. So whether there are people sitting in here that have been a part of church for a while, or there are people that are sitting here for the very first time, we can walk out of here knowing that when I think about the church, I think about a people that know how to pray and know how to call upon an almighty God. Church is a place of prayer. Church is a place of prayer. People of prayer. Because prayer is the greatest tool that we have. Just do me a favor, stand to your feet in this place. God, we thank you for today. Do me a favor, just with every eye closed right now. You're here, and just go and close your eyes for a moment. Let's just close out all the distractions. You're here, and you would say, you know what, Ben? I got some stuff that's standing in front of me. Got something in front of me that's keeping me back from the fullness and the promises of God. And I haven't really been praying about it. I've been consumed. I've been worried. But I'm here now. I need to pray. I need to pray. I need to pray. I need to see this thing moved. You're here right now and you say, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me? Just shoot your hand in the air right now. Come on, you need some prayer. You need some obstacles removed in your life. Come on, you need some breakthrough. Hallelujah. 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 It's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. God, I lift up every person right now with their hand raised. And God, I'm asking right now that, Lord, you would move in their life so much so that God, they would drop to their knees and begin to call upon you. And as they call upon you, that they'll begin to see that mountain removed. They'll begin to see that circumstance, that situation removed. You begin to answer right now. God, we thank you. There's power in prayer. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You're in this place. And you're here.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.